Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Charlotte, soccer show. John Hayes, Danny Brams. We're here on the patio at Amelie's. Danny Brams is over here fixing himself a nice hot coffee. The cold coffee doesn't sit right out here on a 48-degree morning. It is sunsplash, though, here on the patio at Amelie's. It's great to see you, and thanks for the coffee, Danny.
You're welcome, brother. Thanks for being here. Thanks for all of y'all out there listening to another coffee cast. As the winds of change blow through Charlotte, it's very windy out here on the patio, but unfortunately, it's really noisy inside, so we're out here and enjoying the chance to talk about some really crazy winds of change that are blowing through the club. Potentially, we stand on the precipice of a new manager. I as we record this Wednesday morning, I think we've got to be 48 to 72 hours away from hiring a new manager, if not less.
I'm not as hopeful as you are that this deal gets done this week, but I do think that the pieces now are in place. And we know that two of the finalists for this open managerial position are familiar names. That is, if you follow the English Premier League.
Right, exactly. Which a lot of our, most American soccer fans do. There's very few you meet that, like, you definitely have MLS purists in this country, but even the staunchest MLS lover at least follows the Premier League a little bit.
You're definitely going to know one name, and that's Frank Lampard, Chelsea legend, manager at Chelsea as well, started his managerial career at Derby County in the Championship, went on to manage Chelsea, went on to manage Everton, and was the caretaker last season at Chelsea when they were courting Mauricio Pochettino to take over that role this season. The other name? Maybe not as well, familiar.
The name is very familiar. The name is extremely familiar if you are a Carolina person, because he's quite simply the greatest coach of all time, Dean Smith. You know, like who wouldn't want to bring Dean Smith in to coach a Charlotte football club? But it's a different Dean Smith.
I saw a lot of jokes about the four corners defense.
Exactly.
What kind of tactics Dean Smith is going to roll out there on the soccer pitch. But Dean Smith is a former Championship and Premier League manager as well. What's funny is that these two managers, their careers, Danny, they really mirror one another.
Yeah. They're kind of they're facing off for a job here. As you said, it's been reported by Todd Bin, who reported the interviews, confirmed by Tom Bogert on the national reporting world, that
good
these
shout
two
out, by the way.
These,
well done.
Yeah, these two guys have been in-house to talk about the job. We have to think they're not the only two. No one has ever said they're the only two, and I would have to think there's at least one to two more other finalists that are in the mix here as we kind of narrow this down. But it might be down to just two. Who knows? But what I'll say is, they're up for the job against each other, and they one time faced each other in a very big showdown as managers, and that was something that popped out as you were looking into these guys that was a great story.
Right, I'm going to tell you that story in a second, but first I just want to let people know what's coming up on the show today. Copa America, Danny. It's coming to Charlotte, the semifinal and the third place game at Bank of America Stadium at the Fortress. That is really, really cool. Congratulations to everybody in this soccer city who made this happen, right? If the fans didn't show up to that United States men's national team, to the Mexican national team games, to
Haiti, when Haiti played here, it was a great turnout.
Yes, it's a it's a really strong reflection of the fan base here and that Charlotte is indeed a soccer city. Kerwin Vargas, we've talked about his involvement in the Colombian national team. It was only a matter of time, we thought, until he would get called up. He doesn't get called up to the first team. He gets called up to the under 23 team. But in my mind, and the reason why I wanted to include this here, because I think this is the first step of Kerwin Vargas being included potentially in that Colombian Copa America team.
Yeah, there's a very good chance that Vargas could be on the Copa America 2024 team. Even just because they know they'll be playing in America, they want to have, you know, an extra MLS player. That might make the spot for him on a tight decision. Or he might just play so dominant in this under 23 call-up that he's recently got that say, we got to get this guy up no matter what, not for any fan appeal, but to win some games.
I love to see the young man getting this opportunity. And then finally, the MLS College Showcase is underway as of today.
Are there ever any good players in the MLS College Showcase?
some guy by the name of Patrick Ajumong was there last year. You can check out our previous episode. Listen to me talk to University of Rhode Island head coach Gareth Elliott. Fun interview talking about Patrick Ajumong, his college career, and how
was really good
goal scoring. Danny, isn't something that is new to Patrick. It's
no.
Something that he does well and has done well throughout his entire career, starting at Division III. More goals to come. Will a new manager see Patrick Ajumong as an asset to this club? I would hope to think that he would. And then finally, we've got Tifo's questions from Jorge Torres, from James Paul Perez, from Brandon Davis, and from Kevin, a.k.a. Tug Speedman.
Tuggy, tug. I love it.
So we got great questions as well. So back to, though, Danny, the idea of Frank Lampard and Dean Smith. For me, you mentioned when these two managers met on the field, this is a seminal moment in both of these managerial careers. It was the 2018-2019 championship season. Dean Smith is at Aston Villa, and Frank Lampard is with Derby. And both clubs do not get promoted. They do not finish in the top two at the time to get promoted up into the Premier League. There's a 4-team playoff to figure out who gets promoted and which manager gets to become a Premier League manager. Turns out, both of them actually did, but it was Dean Smith who got the best of Frank Lampard's Derby County side in the 2019 championship playoff match.
Wow.
This is how closely these two men have you know, been in the same sphere together, and now all of a sudden they're in the Charlotte FC sphere. It's kind of weird to me.
Yeah.
But I think
they stood on a touchline together in what they call the most expensive match in the world, right? That match to like win and get into the Premier League is a matter of tens of millions of dollars to your club. So it's a high stakes showdown, and now they might have been in the, you know, they might have been on the same flight or stayed in the same hotel, you know, here as they're interviewing for this showdown to get our managerial post.
Dean Smith did a really nice job that season with Aston Villa. He did have some help, though. A guy named Jack Grealish helped him get the job done and get Aston Villa promoted into the Premier League. So let's just start with both of these managers there, right? Because Dean Smith goes on, Danny, and he has a solid run at Aston Villa. He's not a manager that ends up winning anything with the club. He doesn't bring them any trophies. But then again, he's managing a promoted side in the Premier League. You can see, and we know how difficult that is.
And they're still in the Premier League. They've stayed up ever since.
Meanwhile,
he's not there anymore. He got sacked a couple years later, right? But yeah.
But he's laid the foundation.
Yeah, for sure.
But he's laid the foundation. Right. And I think that if you talk to an Aston Villa supporter, they would tell you his time spent there reminds them of success, does not remind them of failure.
All right.
That's what promotion would do for a club. And by the way, Dean Smith is responsible for bringing players like Ollie Watkins, world-class striker, was able to evaluate that talent and sign him to Aston Villa after promotion. Emiliano Martinez.
Yeah. Off the Arsenal bench.
Argentinian goalkeeper. Brings him over, sees that talent as well, signs him there too. Mm-hmm. So Dean Smith has a history of that. Meanwhile, right, and this is the final point that I want to make, Frank Lampard, after, having one successful season with Derby and missing out on his chance of taking Derby to the Premier League, you know what happens, Danny?
He gone.
Chelsea hires him.
They brought their local kid home. Yeah, Chelsea needed a manager, and he was hot at the time.
One guy earned it, the other guy didn't. That's the way I see this. And I think both of their careers have gone on to show just that. I think Dean Smith is clearly, in my opinion, the better candidate of the two. What do you think?
Well, I like the analysis in terms of on-field results for sure. I think when you talk about, ask an Aston Villa fan about the Dean Smith memories and they think of it as a time of success, I don't think Chelsea people would say that about Lampard for sure. He was despite a few wins and whatnot, he was just known for kind of being a little out of his depth, I feel like, to a lot of Chelsea fans. I'm not a Chelsea fan. We can ask Geslin. We can ask those misguided souls out there. But most people know. But he was their boy.
He's super frank.
He's super frank. Yeah, they don't want to say bad things about him.
I think it was 140-some goals for Chelsea throughout his career there.
Yeah, I mean, and he... You know, then he came to MLS and wasn't very good for NYCFC, you know, so like he does have that MLS tie. How about an underperforming NYCFC for our manager? Who would say no to that? No, I just think like, I just don't think he really was very successful at Chelsea or and really, really not super great at Derby, although they did, you know, they were playing for promotion, like you said. I just think like, he's just like, I don't really know anything about a managerial style for him. The one standout thing I remember of Frank Lampard's time at Chelsea, is besides the sort of, you know, middling results, is that he treated Mason Mount like he was his son. It was almost like he wanted like to turn Mason Mount into himself as a player, and it was just like, stop trying to make fetch happen. You know, it was just like he kept running him out there over and over,
remember,
again, making sure he was on all the set pieces.
If I remember, he was the first person on Chelsea's team sheet. Every single match.
Yeah.
Despite the result, Mason Mount was always going to be playing right in that central attacking midfield role
right
for Frank Lampard.
And Mason Mount's not a bad player, but he wasn't really what Frank was trying to turn him into. So, again, we've had experience with managers who try to turn players into something they're not, which is not something I'm eager to repeat. So, my initial reaction to all these when these rumors came out, it's funny. The first word I got of this was actually on Reddit, just some anonymous Redditor on Tuesday morning posted something that was like, hey, Frank Lampard, my buddy flew from London to Charlotte this week, and Frank Lampard was on his flight wearing a full suit.
Looking
he was
good.
Wearing a full suit. He's interviewing for the job. And I was like, that was my first tip-off that Lampard was in the mix, and then the other reporting started to come out around it that was a lot more concrete. But it's just kind of funny. Like, so I've had a little bit of time to process this and think about it. As an Arsenal fan, as a Chelsea hater, kind of, like, my the hair on the back of my neck stands up when you say Frank Lampard might come be our manager. But I have to put that aside. Obviously, I care more about Charlotte FC than Arsenal a lot these days. So, is he the right guy for the job? I think the positives are development of young players, maybe, other than the Mount thing I just cited. Like, I don't really know. I've heard that that's what he's good at, but haven't really seen it. You talk about, he signed Dele Alli also?
Yes, after he got the Everton job, he kind of identified Dele Alli as somebody he could help resurrect his career, and that was unfortunately dead on arrival for Dele Alli at Everton, who Dele obviously went on to have difficulties and was having difficulties throughout his career.
Right.
So ultimately, this is no criticism of Dele Alli. This is kind of maybe a criticism of Frank Lampard thinking that he can create something that wasn't there, similar to how he thought he could create something that wasn't there with a player like Mason Mount.
Yeah.
Right?
So,
where his experience on the pitch, his ability to maybe play above what his level is.
So that all worries Mount. And then the one other thing that worries me is for both of these guys, for Dean and Frank, is like, what is their mission to come here? Are they really super psyched up to come here to Charlotte, North Carolina from England and build a great club? Because that's what we need. We're still a young club. We've had two seasons of existence. Like, so we really need someone in here who's in here for the long haul. And not, I feel like both these guys might be trying to say, hey, I've kind of bombed out over here in Europe. I'm not getting many prospects. Go over to America. You know, how hard could it be to take over an American club and do really well with them for a little while and then bounce back over and get a top flight championship or, you know, Premier League job or something like that. So I would have a lot of questions about that, and I'm sure those questions would be asked in the interview by Joe and Zoran and the team and all that. So like,
I agree with you 100% on this, and I think if I were to list my concerns with Frank Lampard as Charlotte FC manager, it would be how long would he be here? Just right. what you said. And the one experiment that I've seen in this same light that has failed, and similarly, another Derby County manager, Wayne Rooney.
There's only one Wayne Rooney. Thank God there's only one Wayne Rooney.
On this podcast, at the end of this MLS season, I remember saying to you, oh, Wayne Rooney, he's done at DC. He doesn't even want to be there.
And he was like done. Yeah, he was done the next day, I think.
He absolutely was. And it was an experiment that didn't work. So mm-hmm. I think it would be really, really smart.
I did think of Rooney when I heard the Lampard news.
For Charlotte FC to kind of look at that Wayne Rooney experiment and see how Wayne Rooney adjusted to MLS play, how committed he was to being here. You know what Wayne Rooney did at DC United? He tried to resurrect his coaching career. Mm-hmm. And you know what Frank Lampard is going to try to do at Charlotte FC? He's going to try to resurrect mm-hmm. his and coaching career.
2-3 years later, Rooney's back across the pond working at Birmingham City. He probably hoped he would do better at DC and get a better job over there, but he was always going back over there one way or the other. And if it's Birmingham or Manchester United, right. you know, hope we'll see what happens. But right. so like,
well, let me just add something on Dean Smith though here, right? Because cool. if we're going to criticize Frank Lampard about what is his ultimate end goal with taking this job, I don't want to put Dean Smith in that same category. I think he's older. He's 52, I believe. His coaching career is not necessarily over in England, but there's going to be a lot of young managers who come up in the next 5 or 6 years, and Dean Smith can kind of potentially become a forgotten figure. Because I want to, there's a guy named Sam Allardyce, right?
Big Sam.
Who is absolutely known as somebody that can save a potential relegation mm-hmm. side and keep them up, right? And Dean Smith has been tasked with that twice in the last 3 years, and he's failed both times. Therefore, he's probably not going to get that opportunity again.
Right.
And I don't expect
to be that rescue manager.
A Premier League team right. to give him a third chance to be the rescue manager. He's failed twice, and I just don't think that decision will be made.
This dog over here is totally agreeing with you about Dean
certainly,
Smith.
Yeah, 100%, right? So I think that he's at a different part of his career, and we've seen the tidbits about Dean Smith's son.
Yes.
Who has been here in Charlotte for many, not in Charlotte, excuse
in Carolina.
Me, in Carolinas.
Yeah.
Plays currently
Asheville
for the,
Greenville.
For the yeah. Greenville Triumph, played for Asheville. I don't know what the relationship is like between father and son.
I saw a picture of them together. But.
So I'm going to speculate here, and I'm going to say, I like to think as two soccer minds that they've been speaking. Dean Smith has been here, has visited the area, is familiar with this, and kind of knows what he's getting into. Mm-hmm. I think Frank Lampard has no fucking clue what he's getting into.
Okay.
As far as coming to Charlotte, North Carolina, and understanding how soccer works here. I think Dean Smith has an intimate understanding of how soccer works in these two states because of his son. And I think, again, that gives me the belief that Smith would actually be a hire that I could really, really get behind.
Okay. That's a good distinction. I knew the news about his son and stuff like that, or the connection there, and I was going to say, if that's the reason to hire him, that'd be really, really bad. But if that's just a little bonus on the side, then it makes sense.
It's part of the story.
Yeah.
It's part of the whole, and it's how you, when you're going to interview people, you have to differentiate. What makes them different? What qualities is someone bringing?
Right.
What kind of knowledge does a potential manager have that somebody else doesn't? And I think, you know, this isn't, you know, something that Dean Smith is going to do for selfish reasons. He's not, you know, I would be concerned if he got the job and then the first signing he made was his son from Greenville Triumph.
I'd be like, wait a minute.
I wouldn't be surprised.
We neglected to hire Bob Bradley for a reason, y'all. Come on now. Or Josh Wolf.
But here's the thing, right? This conversation has been fantastic. And, like, it's you, two of potentially four candidates, right?
Right?
So to act like the decision is going to be made between these two candidates, I don't want to sit here and pretend like that's the case, because there could be somebody else out there.
Sure.
Could be a few other people out there. But
I mean, you know, Dom Kinnear's interviewing. We don't know if he's interviewed with us, but he's definitely interviewing around the league.
Yeah. I mean, we had 10 names, or maybe it was 8 names. We had 8 names
yeah.
on our list, the coaching candidates episode. Go back
names.
And listen to our coaching candidates episode. We did not have Dean Smith or Frank Lampard on either
of
our lists.
Yeah.
But they do align with things that we've said on the show.
Yeah.
And this is the last point I want to make. And I want to ask you this question. Zoran Crneta, the European pipeline, are these candidates Are Zoran Crneta's fingertips all over this? Do you believe that he's leading this search when you see these two candidates?
100%. 100%, because we know he's inclined to work. It's not that he has some sort of irrational belief that Europeans are better. He's just like, we know that he likes to work in what he's familiar. And so that's why he deals in Europe so often. I think that's all it is. And who wouldn't want to work in areas where, you know, they feel the most confident and comfortable and familiar? I don't know. I mean, I surely do. But I think there has to be some. So the thing of it is that's kind of another one of my, I said after sleeping on this, I was way more positive on this news than I was when I went to bed. But then I've done nothing but spew negatives ever since I started going into detail. So I will get to a positive in a second, but I just, like, that's one more thing that concerns me about both these guys is, like, I think when you talk about a manager, sporting director combo, two positions that work very closely in tandem with each other.
Especially at this club.
Yeah. I think you just need some institutional MLS league knowledge to be working with in terms of a deep background. And I know Zorn's got 2 years in the league now. He's not a total rookie anymore. But at the same time, like, and I also agree with a take I heard, which is, yeah, but you really want your sporting director to be the MLS knowledge guy, and it doesn't matter if your manager has that. Well, we don't have that. We have a sporting director who's only 2 years in the league. So I just think if you can't have one, then you would want the other. So I still lean towards I want a manager, a domestic. It doesn't really matter their nationality, but a domestic manager in terms of someone who's been working in the league for a long time.
It's something that I think that's appropriate. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean, that's just what I want. I don't think it's essential, but it's just what I would choose.
It's clearly missing from both of these CVs.
Yeah.
Right? There's just nothing there.
Just know the league is important. And, like, we were criticized for that, Charlotte FC, before we even launched. There was so much of the early critique of Charlotte FC's early build was, oh, they didn't hire anybody that knows MLS. And we attacked that. We pushed back on that on this show saying, well, you know, sometimes you have to come from outside to break the machine and redefine and all that. But we can't ignore the evidence that 2 years have told us, which was there's some validity to the idea that having some institutional league knowledge in your building is extremely helpful. So when you think about especially the margins of how we've been kind of a mediocre club for 2 years, and but we've been so close to being really, really good. You know, it's just like, man, if a few other things had gone our way and things like that. So you start thinking about that stuff. So all of that is in my head for sure, and that's all why it's all my initial negative reactions to these two rumored names. But when I start to think about it, this goes for both, but especially for Lampard, is that, you know, I started to think about what would players react. Again, this is why I kind of almost went down with the ship on Latanzio, even though I didn't really like his managerial style, was because the players respected him. And I'm always going to go to our players, and I'm starting to think, like, how would the players react to, like, a great name coming in? Like, I just think a name kind of like that, as long as they're not a total asshole, but if they can come in and be a decent manager and they have that sort of name and that resume of he's done it, Frank Lampard's played and won the Champions League and been done it at the highest levels, like, that's going to appeal to a lot of players that we have now and players that we might sign.
I'm going to make a statement, and it's a disagreeable statement here, and it's Scott Arfield came into this club as a Champions League player, and not one player on the team asked him about it. He said that during our interview.
That's true.
Right, and here's that's somebody that played in the Champions League like 2 years ago.
That's true.
Young players on Charlotte FC, I wouldn't be surprised if they really don't know who Frank Lampard is.
Crazy to think of, but maybe, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you just celebrated a birthday.
Made me feel old. Yeah.
I won't give away what you celebrated.
2008 was a long time ago, bro.
It was though.
Yeah.
Patrick Aujemon was born in 2000.
Yeah. All right.
Frank Lampard was playing at a time where a lot of these players were not really watching professional soccer.
I mean, you didn't just poke a pin in my bubble there. You just fucking took a hatchet to it. But that was the only positive I had.
No, but there could be some actual. There really could be some validity to that, right? Where you bring them in, you show the players what this man has accomplished. You talk about how he's been there. The problem is, and I mean this sincerely, is are we hiring a manager or are we signing a player?
Right.
Like,
right.
Wouldn't you want to bring a manager in who can say to the group, I've lifted that trophy here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. I've accomplished this. We can help achieve our goals together.
Right.
Not, oh, I was a player here, a player there.
That's why I liked Gio. That's why I liked Dom. You know, that's why I like some of these guys. Even though I would not like Caleb Porter has done it. So just like there's names out there. Robert Frazier, same thing, you know, former coach of the year in MLS.
We said we weren't going to go on a 20-minute deep dive about these two candidates, but here we are. It's Charlotte Soccer Show, John Hayes, Danny Brams here. We're at Amelie's French Bakery and Cafe here in South Charlotte, right off of Park Road and Park Road Shopping Center. What a beautiful morning it is out here, Danny.
Deep in the heart of Charlotte. Yeah, it's great. Right around the corner from the best hidden little bar, Sir Ed's. You know, this is just a great part of town. I love it here. The vibe is just nice, you know. Most of the busy breakfast crowd has moved out, and now it's just kind of chill out here on the patio. It's nice.
It's December 6th, and these are the kind of reasons that you move to Charlotte, and you stay here because you realize in December you can have a nice hot coffee on the patio.
Yeah.
You can talk soccer in this beautiful city and realize that it's a really busy month.
And you know who's going to learn that? The entire effing world, because they're coming here for Copa America.
What was your reaction, Danny, when you saw this news, when you heard this news that the semifinal match was going to be played at the Fortress?
Elation. More so than any other previous international match. Like when they even U.S. men's national team, when they announced they were here, when they were friendlies and not, you know, random things, I just couldn't really get excited. Even Chelsea versus Charlotte FC, I wasn't super excited for. I know a lot of people were. I don't take away from that. But like this for me, like this is like a real match. This is like a semi-final in the probably the third biggest tournament in the world. I would say I behind
World Cup Euros
World
and
Cup
then
Euros
Copa
and Copa America. Yeah, this is the third biggest tournament in global football.
Yep.
And it's normally all South American teams, but what they do is they invite a few other nations, and for this upcoming one, they've invited the U.S., and it's going to be held in the U.S., so, like, Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, Uruguay, like, powerhouses are going to be, like, there's a chance, and if the U.S. plays well, there's a chance we could be seeing the U.S. men's national team play. We've made it to the semi. I think we made it to the quarters of the last time that we were invited to the Copa. They called it the Centenario, I think. 10 years ago, I think, but
it was 2018.
Okay, yeah, six years ago. So, yeah, like, I just it's high hopes. It's high hopes to see not only a great international match, but a high stakes international match.
If it's elation is a perfect word. If I could choose one word for it, I would maybe use proud.
Yeah,
you know, to know that all of the energy and all the effort that's been put in. By so many people in this community to be rewarded with this, right? And I think, I don't know.
What did B.J. Callahan say, right?
Oh, man, you're reading my mind. I was going to mention B.J. Callahan. Yeah. I was going to say, hey, we don't know who the third and fourth candidate is.
Hopefully, yeah.
Maybe he's one of them.
Yeah.
And B.J. Callahan, he was the manager for the United States men's national team when the U.S. played here. And after the match, he was just absolutely glowing about the atmosphere. And he was absolutely spot on. And I think, you know, people really noticed. Now, my other question is, what was your reaction to a lot of, you know, maybe not a lot, but there's some people in the national media landscape that cover soccer in this country who were, frankly, shocked that Charlotte landed the semifinal match?
My reaction? Clap back. Bitches. I don't put up with any of that. There was people, like, writers that I respect were tweeting, like, Charlotte, I'm not going to lie, this is kind of an upset pick and all this stuff. And it's like, have you guys been paying attention? Have you seen the attendances that pour out for MLS, for U.S. men's national team, for other CONCACAF teams, for exhibitions? We put 70K in that place. Like, why would you not have the semifinal here? Are you absolutely insane? Like it makes no sense. And, like, people were like, oh, Charlotte must – I would love to see the bid book. Someone said, oh, I'd love to see that Charlotte bid book, because, you know, all the sites that want the semifinals have to submit a bid that says, like, this is how we're going to do it. It's not like they just say – they don't just pick names out of a hat. Like, people in the soccer community, I'm quite certain within Charlotte FC
– totally.
Were working hard to, like, present to the Copa America organizers, hey, this is what Charlotte has to offer you. And yeah, and you know what? Not only did we show out for U.S. Men's National, but we showed out for various other nations as well. And this is an international tournament. So, like, you know, like, KC, you know, people were, I think Chicago was the city that was whining the most about us getting it over them. And it's just like, come on.
I've never really been a fan of third place matches, right?
Right.
It's always been, I appreciate that they do it, right? Because right. I think as a former track and field athlete, as a huge fan of Olympians, bronze medals mean it. Everything sure. to
Most
people.
Definitely.
And I think when you play at a level of competition in professional sports and you're talking about the third best global soccer tournament in the world, getting third place in that is pretty fucking cool, right? And if that game was in Los Angeles, I might not be that interested. But knowing that, and think about this, right? If you have two semifinal matchups of Argentina versus United States mm-hmm. and Brazil versus Colombia, right? You're guaranteeing yourself an opportunity to see three of those teams in person.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're going to see the original semifinal match.
Right.
You're going to see the loser of that match again.
And you'll see the loser of the other semifinal.
So you'll get to see, in Charlotte here, you're going to get to see three of the four semifinalists for the Copa America. That means Brazil, Argentina, United States, Colombia. I saw the odds list out there. It's just, obviously Mexico is going to be a team that could potentially make that semifinal.
You might be seeing Kerwin Vargas play for a trophy with the Colombian national team at Bank of America Stadium a year from now, or a little less than a year from now.
It's unbelievably exciting.
6 months from now. Yes, it's happened, but yeah.
It just goes to show that Charlotte is certainly a soccer city. And
it's La Vie en Rose, you know, like to take some inspiration from Amelie here. It's just a beautiful thing. It's just like life is it's golden, you know?
It certainly is. And you know, speaking of Amelie's here, it'll be really fun to do. Get Nielsen Milano over here for an interview.
Exactly.
A taste of home. I saw he was potentially back in France.
I hope so.
Recently, I saw he was with maybe his boyhood club.
You gotta do that.
He was traveling there. Speaking of players traveling, Patrick Ajumon, the club did a really nice short form video about Patrick Ajumon and his journey from East Hartford, Connecticut, to Division III. Eastern Connecticut State University there, and we learned a little bit about his background, which I just wanted to say this, and I think this is really interesting for both of us, is that we both spent a lot of time in Hartford.
You know? Yeah. So it's like, I never lived in West Hartford, but almost all my coworkers and friends did.
I did. And honestly, if I told Patrick Ajumon that I lived in West Hartford, I think he would look down at me and judge me for it.
I would not tell him. If I met Patty, the one thing I would not say to him, oh, you're from East Hartford? Oh, I used to hang out in West Hartford all the time. That was great. I'll stay away from that conversation.
100%. So I just, it really hit home with me the type of journey that this player has been through. What's funny is that the club and Charlotte Soccer Show both released content about Patrick Ajumon on the same day.
Amazing.
Without coordinating whatsoever.
That was not coordinated.
I had the interview.
He's in the air.
I had the interview with Gareth Elliott, the Rhode Island coach who coached him, and then I went on to write about Patrick Ajumon as well. So I wanted to say that on the show, Danny. I wanted to promote our new Substack, Charlotte Soccer City. You can go to the show description. I'll make sure that I put the link in there. It's free. It's going to remain free. It's going to be free for the entire 2024 season. I can guarantee you that.
Content, baby. It's just, we know people want content, and we're going to give it to them.
And there's a lot of, you know, folks out there writing about Charlotte FC, and I think something that was really interesting, and you posted my first article on Threads, which was the article that was titled the same as the podcast episode, "Is Patrick Ajumon a budding MLS star?" You posted that on Threads, and I saw an interesting reply talking about someone guest writing for our Substack.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put that out there, that if you are somebody in the Charlotte FC community, if you are a TIFOS and you like to write, please get in touch with me, because I'd be happy.
You want
to
just write one? You don't want to be tied down to like, oh, I have to write something every week, but you just want to write something and submit it to us. We'll publish it, of course.
Well, because it's much easier for us to publish written word than spoken word from a guest, right? Because a podcast guest is hard. You got to coordinate. Mm-hmm. You got to get on the computer. You know, if someone wants to write something in their, you know, their own time in the morning over some coffee and send it in to us and have it published, I think that would be really cool.
Hell yeah.
So pitch something. And that's the idea. Pitch something to us to write about, and we'll certainly
level up. Luke, you have your marching order.
I mean, he was who I was thinking about as I was saying that, to be honest. Speaking of the TIFOs, just looking at this rundown here, Danny. Last thing I wanted to mention was the MLS College Showcase. We did mention that. Just want to give a shout out to Ben Green.
He's there. We can confirm. We've done some reporting on this.
Yes. Talk to Ben this week. He is there with the scouting department, seeing who's next in line, potentially to be drafted by Charlotte FC in the upcoming Super Draft later this month. If you want to learn more about Ben, if you want to understand kind of what he does for the club and what he's doing this week at the MLS College Showcase, go back into our catalog and you'll see a really fun interview that we did with Ben Green during the summertime.
Arsenal supporter Ben Green. Love that guy. Yeah, it's amazing to think that we could be out there scouting the next Patrick Ajabong right now.
Exactly. So with that, let's get into some TIFOs questions. We got four of them. They're really good. Jorge Torres.
Parcero, how you doing, Jorge? I know he wants to. He was the first person that told me about the Kerwin Vargas news, of course.
Huge. I'm happy for Jorge. I'm always so happy for the Colombians here in Charlotte who are so well represented by Kerwin Vargas. I think he's one of the best young players in MLS.
Did I ever tell you about Jorge and I went to lunch at Los Paisas after the Crown Legacy lost to Columbus Crew 2?
Yeah.
Had a hell of a lunch, man. That was a great lunch.
Love to hear that. You know? It's all.
I love a good lunch.
I don't know. I mean,
what's Jorge's question? We've been shouting this kid out.
Aside from coach, biggest off-season need.
Oh, wow. I think our biggest off-season need is a huge signing. Just a huge sign. Just a star signing. Love Karol Swiderski. Had no clue who he was when we signed him. Love him now. Had no clue who he was. I want us to sign someone who everybody knows who they are the minute that name is announced. My mind goes to my big, like, shoot the moon that I know is not realistic and won't happen. I'd be like, let's go get Antoine fucking Griezmann from Atletico Madrid. You know, I know he has a lot of interest in coming to the U.S. someday. Let's just throw a bag at him and make it happen early to prevent him from going to, like, a New York or L.A. team in 2 years. But that's
or a Saudi
not
team.
Yeah, exactly. But that probably won't happen. This is what the one that's more realistic but still a big swing for me is and not this he doesn't quite fit that everyone would recognize his name right away, but Georgi Mihailovic, U.S. men's national player who was a superstar in Montreal. He dominated us when one he's already shined on the turf at Bank of America Stadium before. He's amazing, and he went to AZ Alkmaar in the Dutch league this season, and the problem is he's been getting more playing time recently. Like, for a while, when I first sort of came up with this, we should go get Mihailovic, it's because he was, like, being wasted on the bench in the Dutch league. But, like, since then, in the weeks since then, he's actually picked up some more minutes, so could be not happening. But I would love to go bring Georgi home to MLS and have a U.S. men's national, not a starter for them necessarily, but he's in the mix, and it would be really cool to have him on our club.
Okay, I thought about this question, and I thought about how much you're going to hate this answer.
I love it.
I think that our biggest offseason need is central midfield.
Another one?
Specifically at Ashley Westwood's position and Brant Bronico's position.
Mm-hmm.
I love both of those players. I think that they obviously have a spot on this squad, and I think that they can start most every game, especially Westwood in that captain position. I think 2 years into this project, it's time to ask Brant Bronico to step his game up a little bit. He's not good in the final third. Christian Latanzio put him in that position way too many times. I think that this club needs to get somebody in here to challenge Brant Bronico and ultimately decide if he's the player that should be starting every match for this club. I think that, to me, is the biggest offseason need.
Yeah, and that's realistic. Obviously, it's tough to talk about challenging guys' spots of players that we really enjoy, obviously, but it is the reality of the situation.
But that's what good coaches do, by the
way. Yeah, 100%. These are tough. Yeah, that's why coaches make a lot of money, is because they have to make tough decisions and stand by them and get fired when they don't work out.
And for what it's worth, there was part of the reason why I feel this way is because of the playoff match against New York Red Bull, where I just felt like we were outplayed in the middle of the pitch all game long, and I think part of that was tired legs, so many matches, so many games played.
Red Bull, many urgent matches.
Yes, and Red Bull playing this pressing style, and it was really apparent that the central midfield was not ready for that assignment. Mm-hmm. But that being said, it doesn't mean that, you know, they need to be replaced. It just means added depth.
Right.
Right, because someone like Brecht Diagre is not going to be a central midfielder for this club. He's too small. He has no defensive abilities whatsoever.
Yeah.
He's a winger. He's a 10 who has no defensive responsibilities whatsoever.
I'd like him as a 10, not a winger, personally.
Either. But my point is, like, those are his two positions. He's not going to do anything for you on the defensive side of the ball. There needs to be some...
Well, that's not true. Because he will tackle guys illegally in the box in the stoppage time, defensively.
Oh, man. Yes, he will. Yes. If he's called into action, he will make sure that he goes down and takes care of business.
Sad legacy book.
So I'd really like to see somebody like, I don't know, Derek Jones.
Right. We need a Jones replacement.
By Charlotte FC.
And someone who, even more so than Derek, who we all really liked, is just that destroyer role. Derek the Destroyer, we called him on his best days. And it's because, like, I think of someone like Jose Barujo Martinez for Philadelphia. Is just that number, that just like that stalwart six who's like bigger than everybody else and like just goes and like takes the ball and just cuts off attacks and stops them and just kills them dead. And that's what Jose Martinez does so well for Philly. That's what Wobodo did for Cincy so well this year to fuel their rise. You know, you look at all the great teams and they have that defensive stopper. For Columbus, it's Aiden Morris this year, and it's been Darlington Nagbe in the past. He's not, and it doesn't have to be someone big. Nagby's been able to do it.
All right, we're going rapid fire on the last two questions here. Danny Brams, JPP, which position group needs the most attention this offseason?
I mean, I think you just answered it kind of, but for me, I'm going to say center back.
I agree completely. My answer was center back to that question as well. Bill Tuoloma is in position to potentially get back into the squad, but ultimately, if he does, what's the future of Guzman Carujo? I think there's a lot of questions to be asked there. Brandon Davis chimes in. Are the rumors of Charlotte FC looking into spending big money for Albert Gronbach? Excuse that pronunciation if that's not right. Pretty much as sure as King Carroll is on the way out for January 1st. Do you expect Carroll to be transferred in the January window?
Yes, but not as much as I did 2 weeks ago.
And the Albert Gronbach signing.
Maybe. It's silly season rumors. Who knows? He may be the guy. He may not be the guy.
Last question comes from Tug Speedman. Tuggy, thoughts on MLS playoff format and what would you change? We're going to push this to next episode because this is a big discussion we want to get into.
And there's one game left.
And partly because you're going to that game.
Right.
You're going to MLS Cup this Saturday.
I'll be at MLS Cup final. I'm waking up early Saturday morning, driving to Columbus. Can't wait. Meeting a big group of friends there. And We got a little VIP treatment, maybe courtesy of my friends in France.
Love to hear that. Your friends in France, right? And you're here at Amelie's Day. It's been a pleasure hanging out with you today, as always, Danny Brams. Stick around. We're going to have more episodes coming your way. If there is a Charlotte Coaching FC hire, you can guarantee we'll have a live podcast episode reacting to that news. But for now,
it's for the crown, baby.